This is World Update with Dan Damon. Biodiversity isn't just a word, it's something which gives poor people choices and wealth. And if it's lost, they lose too. We'll hear about efforts to protect landscapes and protect the poor. The former president of Peru will tell us why Hugo Chavez of Venezuela is spying in other countries, according to his evidence. Plus, birds sing, and we'll hear them do it the best ever. First, the latest news.
BBC News with Gaynor Howells. An international conference is underway in Sweden aimed at helping Iraq to rebuild. Opening the meeting, the UN Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon said Iraq was, as he put it, stepping back from the abyss, and with international help it could become a stable, secure and prosperous nation. The Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki said he hoped nations would offer debt relief. Japan is planning to send a military plane to China, loaded with relief supplies for victims of the Sichuan earthquake. It'll be the first flight by the Japanese military into Chinese airspace since hostilities between them ended more than 60 years ago. China and Taiwan have agreed to restart formal talks suspended almost a decade ago on strengthening ties. Taiwan's new president has promised to push for better ties with Beijing after 8 years of frosty relations under his pro-independence predecessor. The United Nations says Burma's military government has approved all its visa requests for UN relief workers to enter the country to help victims of Cyclone Nargis. The move follows weeks of frustration among UN staff at the delays in getting access for international aid officials. In South Africa, the provincial government in the Western Cape says it'll ask for parts of the province to be declared disaster areas in the wake of violence against foreigners. 18,000 refugees are currently being housed in six special camps set up by the city and elsewhere. The military in Sri Lanka says it sunk three boats carrying Tamil Tiger fighters in the northern Jaffna Peninsula and severely damaged another. It says eight Tamil Tigers were killed when rebel boats attacked a tiny island overnight. A new report says damage to forests and other aspects of the natural world could halve living standards for the world's poor. Correspondents say the producers of the report, which includes the European Commission, hope it'll push the economic costs of losing nature towards the top of the global political agenda. BBC News.
This is World Update. From the BBC in London, I'm Dan Damon. Damage to forests and other aspects of the natural world could halve living standards for the world's poor. That's one of the initial findings from a major review of the economics of biodiversity loss that'll be released today at a UN conference in Germany. And Richard Blank is our environment correspondent there. Richard, what does the report say briefly?
Well, we haven't had all the full details, Dan, but you summarised it rather well there. That's the main initial conclusion. If they've been trying to look at what the overall global impact would be if we lost things like forests and clean rivers and so on, all the services, if you like, that those things do for humanity, and they come out with something around about 7% of global GDP by 2050. That would be the global reduction. But for the 1.5 billion of the world's poor, they're saying they depend on these services for a much greater proportion of their livelihood than the rich do. So the poorest in the world could see their living standards going down by 40-50% perhaps.
Well, Richard, thanks. And biological diversity is the kind of jargon phrase that can obscure a real problem affecting real people. Pavan Sukhdev is head of global markets for Deutsche Bank. He's an environmental economist. He led the study into how poor people are losing out. And he gave me an example of where loss of biodiversity means something to real people on a day-to-day basis.
I chose a place not far from where I live, which is Orissa, where the women in the tribal districts of Orissa are affected. Their status in society is affected by the decline in forest cover, because the non-timber forest products that they gathered and brought in from the forest are that much more difficult to collect, and they have to travel further and they get less of them. And it's amazing how the status of women in society in a poor tribal belt in Orissa is affected by the loss and degradation of local forests and biodiversity, but that is the fact.
What are those non-forest products?
The collection of wood, collection of fuel wood for the home, collection of lac, of basically bamboo and patta. It's the kind of leaf that they collect, which is fodder leaf. So it's a range of things which they collect, which is part of their livelihood, and access to this collection makes a difference to them. They are the poor. And of course, you're right about the environmental economists looking for big numbers, but the reality is that people are big numbers. And if you look at the ecosystem services, flood prevention, drought control that come as a result of forests, or for that matter, you look at the regulation of water and the fact that there is water through the year and not just once as a flood during the year, these things bring a flow of nutrients and of stability to the fields. So the forests are actually feeding the fields. But guess who's benefiting from the fields, which is the poor. So, you know, these are the things that people don't understand when they talk about the big numbers, that it's not just the dollars and cents. It's about 1.5 billion of the world's poor, whose very livelihoods depend upon the services of forests.
Landscapes change, though. Lifestyles change. Should we be preserving a lifestyle which seems, on the face of it, to be trapped in a kind of poverty, at least grinding hard work? Perhaps these people could be brought to a better standard of living as the environment changes.
And indeed, they must be brought to a better standard of living. But the way to do that is...